The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, TUC demands unconditional reinstatement of dismissed MODEC workers. Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes meets today on next line of action on pension scheme. GNPC clarifies $700 million loan. Nurse in Mali dies of Ebola after treating infected patient. And U.S. asks IMF to write off part of debt of Ebola-affected countries. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
The Trade Union Congress has demanded the reinstatement of dismissed workers of MODEC unconditionally. This was after an emergency meeting between MODEC workers and the Western Regional Executives of the TUC. The Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes will be meeting today to plan the way forward regarding the second-tier pension scheme, according to the spokesperson for the forum, Reynold Ufusutinkrai. Next year will be the retiring age for a number of workers who unfortunately have no idea where to go for their lump sum contributions. Mr. Tinkrai was speaking to Radio Ghana in Accra. The Ghana National Petroleum Corporation has clarified issues over its decision to acquire a $700 million loan, saying the corporation is not mandated to seek parliamentary approval to do so. A statement from the GNPC denied using the nation's oil resources as collateral. It however stated that the corporation is utilizing its revenue as contained in the Petroleum Revenue Management Act to secure the loan. And a nurse in Mali has died of Ebola after treating a man who had arrived from Guinea, one of the hardest hit countries. This is the second confirmed death from the disease in Mali after that of the two-year-old girl last month. The latest case is said to be unrelated to the first.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The TUC has called for the unconditional reinstatement of sacked workers of MODEC at the marathon meeting between the workers of MODEC and the Western Regional Executives of the TUC yesterday. The Congress warned that if MODEC fails to heed to the advice of TUC, the petroleum sector will experience turbulence. It said the Ministry of Energy, the Petroleum Commission and other stakeholders have been informed. The Deputy General Secretary of General Transport, Petroleum and Chemical Workers Union of TUC, Francis Fala, spoke to Brighton Trauma.
A decision was taken, and as we speak, workers have been dispatched to all the relevant stakeholders, inclusive of MODEC, Petroleum Commission, Ministry of Energy, Ministry of Employment, and all those that don't matter. And we are calling for an unconditional reinstatement of the guys.
But have you given a timeline as to when they should be reinstated?
We have not given a timeline, but we are calling for an immediate action, else we would advise ourselves.
And what kind of advice do you have in mind?
As I'm speaking to you, we have informed all our grounds. I don't want to disclose all our itineraries to you, but we have informed all our grounds that no matter, they are waiting. We are hoping that the management will heed to our cause, or else I'm sure this will be a turning point in the history of this petroleum industry.
You sound very, very
serious. This time is very serious. If they don't heed to our cause, if the agencies, those are that we will have served, if they don't listen to us, what they will see would be a turning point in the history of oil and gas.
We've seen the TUC going on massive demonstration. We've seen on TUC going on strike. We've seen the TUC doing so many things. So what would be this turning point that you are talking about?
I think I earlier on told you I don't want to disclose what we intend doing. What we are asking now is for the management to reinstate them unconditionally because they have breached the MOU that was signed on the 30th between us and them with the Petroleum Commission. And so we expect them to reinstate these guys. Let's go back to the table or we'll advance ourselves.
That was the Deputy General Secretary of the General Transport Petroleum and Chemical Workers Union, Francis Sala, talking to Brighton Trauma.
Labour relations expert Mohamed Afum has raised eyebrow over the manner in which the workers of MODEC were sacked. He said the labour law frowns on the action. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Afum asked the TUC to resolve the impasse between management of MODEC and workers amicably.
Well, I would not hazard any guess, but in industrial relations, you will find situations where some employers decide to use subtle means to intimidate workers who are fighting for their rights, you know, under the employment relationship. So it is likely that this might be one of them, especially coming after they embarked on a strike, you know, to demand parity in their salary with the expatriate staff who are doing the same work.
And so under the circumstance, what can the workers do?
My understanding is that the workers they belong to a union, General Transport and Petroleum Workers Union. And once they belong to a union, I believe that the union will negotiate terms and conditions of employment for their members. And I also understand, I believe that when the negotiation takes place, some of the key issues that will be factored into the quota of employment will be employment security. And that is that the employer cannot terminate the worker without just cause. Just cause means that there must be either misconduct, sickness, incompetence, or other things. You know, it cannot be at the whim and caprices of the employer that I've terminated you, take 1 month's salary. No.
Well, so as it is, the mother union and TUC are all speaking one voice, reinstate the workers unconditionally. So granted that they are reinstated, will this move in any way weaken or kind of put some fear in the workers, you know, to demand for better conditions of service in the future?
Once they have a union, they have the support of the union to negotiate for terms and conditions of employment that will guarantee employment security. That means that the employer cannot decide that one day I've terminated you, go away. Before you terminate, there must be, as I pointed out, just cause, misconduct, incompetence, occupational requirements, and then maybe sickness.
Mohammed Afum is a labor relations expert.
The spokesperson for the firm for public sector registered pension schemes, Reynold Fuzitinkwang, says the 8 labor unions forming the firm will be meeting today to discuss the next line of action on the 2-tier pension scheme. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Tinkran said most people will be retiring next year and they do not know where they will go for their lump sum contributions. He said the union will use all avenues available to resolve the issue, even as they have counter-sued government.
According to our lawyers, the notice for the local tree reduction is to restrain us from continuing with the strike action. So we have to stay put until 18th of this month when the matter will be called for us to know our way forward. I mean, by Thursday, it is our intention to meet and see our way forward.
Mr. Fosu-Tinkwang, some people are also of the view that now that you've gone to court with this counter-suit, we are likely to see a protracted dispute.
It is very likely, and that is what we really want to happen. Because take a look, that January next year, many of our members will be retiring, and they wouldn't know where to go for their lump sum. That is why we chose the quicker option of going on strike, so that we go with the strike action to push government to accept our position as citizen work. So we are ready to fight it out in government. So that was what's why we went to meet the minister yesterday, thinking we'll resolve the matter at the negotiation table so that we inform the court that the parties have managed to settle their matter. But government chose that approach. Thinking that that approach, my brother, is wrong, because if you think you are cheating your workers, you are cheating yourselves, because it is not good to have this cancelled workers, a social health worker. Imagine having a doctor who is not happy, but pretending to be working because, and you know, he is not happy. Because when he retires, he doesn't even know how much you get, where you get his benefit. Then you think you are powerful and you are happy. That is a wrong approach.
The spokesperson for the Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes, Reynold Ofosu-Tinkwang.
Labor relations expert Ben Arthur is faulting government, the Labor Commission and Labor Union for the prolonged impasse over the 2-tier pension scheme. He said the decision by government to go to court and the Labor Union also taking counter-court actions are signs of bad faith. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Arthur called for resourcing of the National Labor Commission to handle such issues rather than resorting to the courts.
It was wrong for government to try and go to court, especially behind the workers, just to prove what we call lack of good faith. It's the same thing that the workforce is reciprocating. So it's just a demonstration of lack of good faith on both sides. And once you have such a situation, the negotiation definitely breaks down. But we must also be quick in adding that we have had a situation where the National Labour Commission consistently is depicted as more or less another court. Instead of promoting cooperation among workers and their employers, it looks as if they will wait for the complaints to come and just handle the complaints. National Labour Commission is woefully under-resourced. They are part-time workers, the commissioners are part-time workers, and they function almost like a court. So if at the end of the day, National Labour Commission itself can go to court, employers can go to court, workers can go to court, then what we are basically telling workers or aggrieved people in this country is that then go to court. Don't waste your time with the National Labour Commission. But the best approach, the most appropriate place to go, is to go and seek the help of the National Labour Commission.
That was Labour Relations expert Ben Arthur.
The Ghana National Petroleum Corporation has reacted to public concern over its decision to go for a $700 million loan. The corporation says it does not require parliamentary approval to borrow. A statement from the corporation quotes PNDC Law 64, which mandates the GNPC to seek approval from the Minister of Finance upon recommendation by the Minister of Energy and Petroleum and not Parliament. The statement denies using Ghana's oil resource as collateral. It said GNPC is using its share of oil revenue as provided for by the Petroleum Revenue Management Act to secure the loan. We bring you more on the statement.
There has been public outcry over GNPC's decision to go over the $700 million loan. The corporation is currently in discussion with the leaders to complete conditions precedent for finalizing the agreement. The public is cautioning GNPC to tread cautiously in its decision to borrow. Some have even questioned the capacity of the GNPC to contract such a loan. The corporation has defended its action, saying the money raised will be used to support GNPC's increasing oil and gas infrastructure investments. The statement added that the loan will provide guarantee to the offshore Cape 3 Point contractors for the offtake of natural gas from the field. The statement says GNPC is in negotiations with the offshore Cape 3 Point partners to pay for the pipeline and receiving facility in the offshore Cape 3 Point gas development project to enable Ghanaians to pay a lower price for gas. This investment will amount to $493 million and save the country from paying 22% interest if the partners were to pay for that investment. GNPC has an immediate requirement of $105 million to pay as part of the price of natural gas negotiated with the offshore Cape 3 Point partners. The impact of these measures will lower the price paid by Ghana to the offshore Cape 3 Point partners. It will also reduce electricity costs to Ghanaians. The statement said the corporation has a commitment to pay $36 million, being 40% of the cost of the pipeline to connect the 10 field gas to the Jubilee FPSO. This, it said, is necessary to send the 10 fields gas to the Ghana National Gas Company.
Those who are excerpts of GNPC's statement on the controversial $700 million loan.
The Ghana National Gas Company says the tie-in between the gas processing plant at Tuabo and the Jubilee Partners FPSO has been successfully completed. First gas was received at the plant on Monday, November 10, 2014. A statement by the board chairman, Professor Kwesi Buchi, said the successful completion of the tie-in will allow Ghana Gas to now complete the full inauguration of the entire infrastructure. We bring you more.
According to the statement, the integrated inauguration will be carried out in phases over a number of weeks. During this period, all operating and monitoring systems will be fully tested and taken through requisite paces. As the inauguration progresses steadily, incremental quantities of raw gas will be injected into the processing facilities that will culminate in the text production of quality lane gas and other mature gas liquids in volumes that will be usable. The statement issued by the board chairman of Ghana Gas, Professor Kwesi Bauchi, said with the requisite clearances, Ghana Gas would then obtain a preliminary permit from the regulatory agencies to allow the transfer of such produced gas and liquids to VRA and other customers. It says Ghana Gas staff and engineers in the field are well trained and capable of managing the processes leading to the commissioning and the management of operations at the plant. It urged the public to avoid peddling untruths that could undermine the efforts that have gone into the completion of this all-important project over the past 1.5 years. The gas plant will position the nation to garner significant savings over its crude oil and gas imports for power generation. The statement assured the public of regular updates on the integrated inauguration phase up until when it is finally ready to provide regular supplies of lame gas to the VRA Abuazi complex.
That was a statement by Ghana Gas Company on the Western Gas Infrastructure Project. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories: TUC demands unconditional reinstatement of dismissed MUDEC workers. Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes meet tomorrow on next line of action on pension scheme. GNPC clarifies $700 million loan. Nurse in Mali dies of Ebola after treating infected patient. And U.S. asks IMF to write off part of debt of Ebola-affected countries. We are back shortly.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news at 6 continues. President John Mahama has met with the executive board of the World Food Programme in Rome, Italy. In his capacity as ECOWAS chairman, President Mahama appealed to the World Food Programme to provide food supplies to families and communities affected by the deadly Ebola virus in West Africa. He said some of these families are devastated and are not able to farm to feed their families and for income. President Mahama also used the opportunity to build a meeting on Ghana's efforts in the agriculture sector to boost food security.
Ghana acknowledges the difficulties encountered in operations of your organization, especially in ensuring adequate preparedness to support the strategic stockpiling of efforts of the wider humanitarian community. Currently, the Ghana Depot is serving as the main hub for the UN's response efforts to fight the deadly Ebola virus epidemic that is ravaging three of our sister West African countries, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. The story emerging from the fight against Ebola is encouraging. For the first time, we're seeing a decline in the number of new infections in Liberia. While this news is pleasant to the ear, we cannot rest on our oars yet. We cannot even begin to talk about success because the prevalence of the disease in many border areas between the three countries is still a source of great concern. ECOWAS is deeply committed to this fight against Ebola. We're working closely with the global community, the UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response, ANMIE, and other partners to resource the humanitarian team who will continue to carry out its work and supporting country-led programs. WFP's response to the Ebola virus disease outbreak is very important. Many households have become vulnerable as a result of the outbreak. Many families have not been able to plant and harvest their crops this year. The intervention of WFP to supply food to vulnerable families and communities will go a long way in strengthening these families in their fight against the disease. I'm also informed that during this session here in Rome, you will approve more programs for Africa, including a country program, a budget increase to development activities, and 5 protracted relief and recovery operations. This is laudable, and Africa appreciates this strong partnership and support. We in Ghana are proud to be one of the countries to be honored here in Rome for achieving the MDGs on poverty and hunger ahead of the 2015 deadline.
President John Mahama.
The low level of women participation in the local governance process and by extension politics has once again been brought to the fore. The narrative has always favored men, and this is a source of worry to some institutions which champion women's issues. The National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, is therefore engaging women across the country to whip up interest in contesting positions in next year's district level election.
Some traders in parts of the central business district of Accra are lamenting the low patronage of their goods as Christmas approaches. They say though they have gone in for new stock, they are not impressed with sales so far. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the traders attributed this to high duty they pay on their goods, even though the cedi has stabilized against the dollar. They were, however, optimistic that the coming weeks will see a change for the better. Priscilla Pia went around the central business district to sample the feelings of traders.
The central business district of Accra is the hub of all kinds of business activities. As Christmas approaches, most traders and consumers come from far and near to either look out for prices of goods or shop for Christmas. This normally creates vehicular and human traffic. The situation at the Mokola market in Accra was quite different, as the atmosphere did not show any sign of Christmas. There was no display of Christmas goods on pavement, but a few were seen in shops. Shop attendants were idle since consumers were not present to buy. Some traders lamented the state of their businesses to Radio Ghana.
We have Christmas goods at the moment, but the patronage is very low. At the moment, the dollar has come down. We have to reduce the goods, and it will go against us. It will surely affect us. Last year was very good. Last year, by 11th of November, everything was fine, but this year, we don't know. We are trusting God that by maybe next week, it will pick up.
We have new stuff, but the patronage is very low. People are not buying. We didn't go for so many things like before. Prices are so high. The duty, they are charging dollar equivalent. So it's just that even the dollars won't make things very expensive. Christmas business really has gone to ending of the thing, but we are praying and hoping that things will pick up.
We have not gone for any new stock. Business is very bad. How can we go in for new stock if what we have has not been bought? Last year was far better than this.
The duties are very high as compared to last year, and the exchange rate, so that's why the patronage is very low. But we are just hoping that things are going to change.
You heard some traders in Accra on the slow patronage of their wares.
The woman whose passport was allegedly forged and used by former MP for Nkuranza, Erica Mwating, has given evidence at the trial of the former MP. Mwating is being tried by an Accra Circuit Court for allegedly possessing a fake passport. The witness, Barbara Inkum's photograph, was originally on the passport but was allegedly substituted for that of Mwating. According to Barbara, in 2008, she was assisted by a friend, Kweku Obing, to establish contact with one Frank at the passport office in Accra. The supposed Frank, who was to help her acquire a passport, continuing, the witness said she forwarded all the necessary documents and an amount of 150 Ghana cedis to Frank to complete the process. The documents, which include two passport photographs, passport form and a birth certificate, were tendered in court as exhibits. Barbara, however, stated that after some time, she lost contact with both Kweku and Frank and therefore never received the passport. The state last week tendered the alleged forged passport in court. The first prosecution witness, who is the Assistant Controller of Immigration, who tendered in the document, told the court that after collecting the passport from Mwating, he checked the biodata and found out that the original photograph had been substituted. Mwating arrived in the country this August after serving a 10-year jail term in the U.S. over narcotic-related charges.
And in foreign news, a Malian nurse has died of Ebola, the second confirmed death from the disease in that country. Officials say the nurse had treated a man who arrived from Guinea at the Pasteur Clinic in Bamako, which is now under quarantine. The latest case is unrelated to the first, when a 2-year-old girl died from the disease in late October. Nearly 5,000 people have been killed in the outbreak, mostly in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone.
The United States has proposed that the International Monetary Fund free up more funds for Ebola hit Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone by writing off some of the country's debt. The IMF has already played a critical role as a first responder, providing economic support to countries hardest hit by Ebola. According to U.S. Treasury officials, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone now owe the IMF a combined $372 million, of which $55 million comes due over the next 2 years. Last September, the IMF approved $130 million in aid to the three countries which have been the hardest hit by Ebola.
China and the U.S. have unveiled new targets to cut greenhouse gas emissions as the leaders of the two countries met for talks in Beijing. U.S. President Barack Obama has set a new goal of reducing levels between 26 and 28% by 2025 compared with 2005 levels. China did not set a specific target, but said emissions would peak by 2030. It is the first time China, the world's biggest polluter, has set an approximate date for emissions to stop increasing. The news came during a state visit by Mr. Obama to Beijing, which followed a major Asian regional summit.
The African Union is still urging a transfer of power from the army to a transitional government in Burkina Faso, but it's no longer threatening the country with sanctions if the handover is not done within 2 weeks. AU Chairman President Mohamed Abdelaziz said he had not come to threaten or impose anything on political actors in Burkina Faso.
Now to end the news, another look at our headlines. The Trades Union Congress has demanded the unconditional reinstatement of dismissed workers of MODEC. This was after an emergency meeting between MODEC workers and the Western Regional Executives of the TUC. The Ghana National Petroleum Corporation has clarified issues over its decision to acquire a $700 million loan, saying the corporation is not mandated to seek parliamentary approval to do so. A statement from the GNPC denied using the nation's oil resources as collateral. The Forum for Public Sector Registered Pension Schemes will meet tomorrow to plan the way forward regarding the second-tier pension scheme. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the spokesperson for the forum, Reynold Ofosu-Tinkrang, said next year will be the retiring age of a number of workers who unfortunately have no idea where to go for their lump sum contributions. And a nurse in Mali has died of Ebola after treating a man who had arrived from Guinea, one of the affected countries. This is the second confirmed death from the disease in Mali after that of the 2-year-old girl last month.